Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. This episode is sponsored by TransPDF. If you regularly get translation projects in PDF format, like I do, and need to convert them into editable format or even directly into an XLIF format, I recommend you go check it out. TransPDF converts your PDF into high-quality XLIF files ready for translation with your own tool. Then it uses your translated XLIF to give you a finished PDF with all the layout and style of the original. The system has just been upgraded to handle right-to-left languages, so Arabic, Hebrew, Persian, and Urdu, and will automatically adjust page layout and reading direction. For example, a Spanish magazine page with columns running left to right can become an Arabic page with column running right to left. It also handles scanned PDFs, is available from within MemoQ, MemSource, and OnTram, and it includes a free use of Infix PDF editor for any last-minute changes to your translated PDF. Get your free trial now by visiting transpdf.iceni.com. There are also special offers available for pros.com users. Hello and welcome to another episode of Marketing Tips for Translators. How are you all doing today? I am doing well, chugging along on my translation, transcreation and localization work and marketing training, despite pandemics and lockdowns. This has been a crazy year so far with so many outside distractions for all of us. Distractions in general can take a lot of our focus and energy and prevent us from actually moving forward in our business. So I think it's an important topic, and how can we conquer distractions and create more focus in our business? That is the million-dollar question. And that is also something today's podcast guest will help us with. I would like to invite back a dear colleague of mine to the podcast. She previously talked about getting rid of digital clutter and procrastination in episode 84. And now we're over 260 episodes. She recently gave a presentation on how to conquer distractions at the last ATA conference. Her tips were so great that I wanted to share them with you listeners today. Welcome back to the podcast, Dorothy Rasset.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Or Dorothy, as we say in the United States. It's good to have you. We introduced yourself in episode 84, but that was quite a while ago. I think it was in 2016.
Tell us
about your career as a translator and a productivity coach.
So I've been a freelance translator since the 1990s. I work in the language pair German English. Mm-hmm. I was originally a university language instructor, but that was not a good fit for me. So I became a freelancer in the 1990s and started building my own business. That was a really good time to get started in the industry because there was so many new fields opening up. And in my case, it was biotech that really helped me turn into a full-time freelancer. Mm-hmm. I became really engaged with ATA leadership and served as the ATA president from 2011 to 2013. And that was a big involvement where I had to manage my time very tightly. Mm-hmm. And when I came away from that, I started looking for ways to share what I had learned. Mm-hmm. And that actually led me to a whole new career path that's been really interesting and exciting. And I ended up taking coach training. It was almost like doing another master's degree. It was very intensive.
I bet.
And now I do both, actually. I still translate, but I also work with small business owners, and I work with a lot of translators to help them find ways to focus their business, to move it to the next level, and to deal with procrastination and distractions. So that's where the idea came from for the ITA conference presentation.
Okay. And productivity is what we're going to talk about today. But I want to move back a little bit about your background. You were born in Germany, right?
Yes. Yeah, I finished high school in Germany and then got married and moved to the U.S. So most of my adult life I've spent in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's where you became a translator?
Yes.
Okay. Is that also where you were teaching?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So I think most of us realize and know that there are a lot of distractions in today's work environments, especially, I think, for us freelancers that work from home or in a co-working office. Even if we're working from home, I think there are distractions. But why are distractions such a big problem for us?
I think it comes down to two main points. Of course, distractions have a lot of negative side effects. But for us, they keep us on the reactive side of business. So when we're very distracted, we never really get around to focusing on those long-term tasks that help us build our business and move into, say, a specialty or advance to the next level of the business. So we end up staying on that reactive side where just one project after another comes in and we deal with it and it goes back out, but nothing ever happens beyond that. I also believe that distractions affect work quality. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I talked about at the ITA conference, that I believe if you want to move into the premium work sector where work is lucrative and where you're getting interesting work, mm-hmm. then it's really crucial to take a close look at those distractions and see what keeps you from moving into that premium sector.
Mm-hmm. So do you think procrastination has anything to do with distractions?
There's definitely a link, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that one of the most interesting lessons we learned in 2020 in the lockdown and the quarantine situation is that time is actually not as big a factor as we always thought, mm-hmm. right? Here we were, all of us sitting around, many of us with a lot less work than we usually have.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? You know, did we actually do the things that we always said we were going to do? And the answer is probably not so much. Mm-hmm. So there is more to procrastination than, oh, I don't have time, I'll do this later.
Yeah.
It's more about what's my mindset at the moment? Am I motivated enough? Can I find the path forward to look at big tasks ahead of me? So I think what we learned in all that situation is when we're really worried,
yeah,
that can be such a big part of procrastination.
Uh-huh. And I remember in the beginning of pandemic, I was very distracted too, and I was mm-hmm. checking the numbers and the news. And
yes.
So, mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, so it is a problem. It's stopping us from growing and doing our best work, distractions, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
How can we become less distracted then? Or how can we make better use of the hours we have available for working? Do you have any strategies?
That's a great question. Yeah. So I believe of course, everybody's workday is different given the different circumstances you have, you know, depending on whether other people are also working at home, whether children are involved, and all of that got a lot more complicated now with pandemic restrictions. But basically, the first step is to be aware of what time is available. So when can you work at the quietest time? When can you really focus on your work? Then time awareness also includes knowing how your own body ticks, sort of. When are you most focused on a general schedule? Some people are early risers and they find that they work really well in the early morning hours. And then others have a preference for working late at night when things are finally quiet and they can focus then. So I would call all of that time awareness. And once you have an understanding of that, then you can start to schedule your different tasks in that time schedule that's individually customized for yourself. I think it is really important to start every day with some form of a scheduling exercise or a roadmap, whatever that looks like for you. It doesn't have to be digital at all. It can be handwritten if that's what you prefer, but it's just a way to be clear to yourself, what's on my plate today? What do I need to accomplish? And so that's all your appointments, all your deadlines, all your important tasks that you have to deal with either for your business or for your private life. And when you put all those pieces into a map of any sort, then it becomes clear to you what you can actually say yes to, what you need to decline.
I agree. And it was interesting to hear about, you know, different productivity windows for different types of people. And I guess I'm not a morning person. And I have noticed, even if I've tried to work on translations in the morning, I feel like there's so many emails coming in. Plus, I don't really have the focus unless I've worked out first. So for me, my most productive time is in the afternoons. After the emails from Europe die down and I have exercised, and then I can sit down for 4 or 5 hours and just churn out translations.
That's great. Yeah. So what you just said, that's exactly what I mean, is an example of time awareness. Then you can be like, okay, this is all I can fit into that afternoon window, and still put out the time, the quality in the time I have.
On the other hand, if I have to work on translations past 8 p.m., I've noticed that I have to look up words more. It takes longer. I guess I've lost my focus then. So.
Right. Yeah. So some people believe that it's just a matter of word counts. But I frequently encounter when I work with freelancers that they're not clear about their actual output time. How long does it take them from A to Z to produce, say, 1,000 words of top quality work? So measuring that time and understanding it is a big piece of creating that time awareness.
Okay. One of the other things you talked about during the presentation that I think is also important when it comes to planning our day, creating focus, avoiding distractions, etc., is to shift from just tackling our urgent tasks and, you know, having our head down and just churning out translations, to be able to do the most important tasks to move our business forward too.
You have on that. So my thought on that is that when you look at the difference between urgent tasks and important tasks, if they were on a spectrum, so the urgent tasks are typically the short term, the projects with a deadline, things that you know very well how to do, but they won't take long. You don't have to strategize necessarily for them. So when you're stressed, it's much, much easier to do an urgent task.
Yes, because you feel some sort of accomplishment once you've crossed it off the list.
Yes. So again, it comes to looking at what's holding you back here. And it's not time. It's not about, if I had more time, I would do this. But it's more something else is holding you back. Maybe you're not quite sure. Maybe you're feeling a little insecure about, say, let me give you the example of a LinkedIn profile. You, you know very well that you should be doing that, but it's easier to accept yet another project or two and go, okay, I'll make a little bit more money, while the LinkedIn profile would give you so much more benefit in the long term.
Yes.
But maybe there's something there where you're feeling insecure, or you're not sure what to say. And so that tends to get postponed as an important task. So for some people, that's an easy shift to make when they realize, okay, I need to address both kind of categories. But for others, that can be such a challenging problem, and the important task can accumulate to such an extent that it's helpful to look for some accountability and to look for some fresh solutions if you're really stuck with that kind of task.
So how do you do it? It's just fun to see. So if you know that it's an important task, how can you prioritize that instead of the urgent task?
I make it a point to break it down as much as possible, because I know if I tell myself, go write a LinkedIn profile, I will not do it. But I will, if I break down the steps that I can do, like look at my current resume, find information, look at how other people have done their profiles. If I make all that separate tasks, then I'm much more likely to find the motivation and the confidence to then complete those individual steps and come closer.
I think that's how I do it too. I sort of have a task for the week, a marketing task for the week. And then I say, so by the end of this week, I need to have updated my LinkedIn profile. And then I say, like, on Monday, I'm going to just look at other people's profiles and take notes. On Tuesday, I look at my experience and how I can update it. And on Wednesday, I do the update and stuff like that. And for me, in order to do this, I always, this is one of the things I do before lunch. Because I know I will still do the translation and do a good job in the afternoon, but I have to finish this task before lunch and not postpone it, because then I don't do it in the evening, for example.
So you use your lunch as an incentive?
Yes.
That's interesting. Yeah. I find that I need to work on those important things as early as possible in the day. That's just my personal preference. If I postpone them past, say, mid-morning, then the chances of getting to them are much slimmer.
Okay. So those were tips on how to shift from just tackling urgent tasks to more important tasks, and I guess both of our experience with doing that. So you also talked about, you know, feasts and famines, and when we're really busy and when we are having less work, and how to create focus and move our businesses forward then. So what are your tips for creating focus and what to do when we are having a slower time or a gap between projects.
Mm-hmm. I think that's just such an interesting phenomenon, right? That freelance work does always involve a little bit of that curve of being very busy and then not so busy. And long term, of course, you want to flatten that curve as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But there are days, that's just a shared experience. There are days when there is less paid work and less urgent work to do. And those days would, in theory, be ideal to take a look at those important long term things. Except a lot of people find that hard. They find that they don't use the downtime ideally, they don't use it well. And I think that comes back to what I said earlier, that it's about more than time.
It is.
So when you find yourself anxious, for example, if you think, this could be, this could be the beginning of the end of my business, or is there going to be a decline in my business, and you end up worrying, then of course you're not in the right mental state to be addressing important business building steps. So what you can do, and I found that to be very helpful, is you can kind of take the model of exercise, where you warm up, then you have an intensive phase of doing high intensity exercise, and then you cool down. Okay. And that's just such a useful model, because so many of us already employ that in other areas of life.
Mm-hmm. So can you give us some examples?
Sure. As a warm up, you could do something like filing, or just taking care of some easy administrative odds and ends that you haven't had time for in busy times. So, there's always something that can be done. Download an update, make sure your passwords are in order, that kind of stuff. So that might be a good warm up to just realign your mind that today is a slower day, but it's still an important time to deal with business. Mm-hmm. So then the intensive exercise phase may be to do some writing about yourself, about your business, about, say, the projects of the last 1 or 2 months. What have you been working on? What have you noticed? Was there something that really stuck out because you enjoyed the work, or it was a new field? So any of that can be helpful, because you can use it for your own marketing. You can use that then to maybe create some social media content or some content for your website. That may be the intensive workout phase. And then as a cool down, you could again say, why don't I take a look at my office? Is everything the way I'd like it to be in my office? Is there clutter possibly? Can I rearrange something so my working conditions are optimized for those times when I'm too busy to even raise my head, right? Mm-hmm. But I found that to be a useful model, because I don't get stuck in some kind of procrastination loop where, say, I'm get stuck in Facebook, or I do things that aren't really that effective for my business.
I'm going to have to try this metaphor, because what I have noticed is that I am more productive with both my translation work and my marketing work when I'm busy.
Uh-huh.
Because when I'm not busy, the distractions creep in and I'm like, oh, I have lots of time and and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And I think what's underneath that is that when you're really busy, you get that reinforcement that, oh, the customers are coming in, money's coming in. Mm-hmm. So you feel confident about your work. You feel sort of reaffirmed that, yes, you're doing the right thing and customers are liking what you're doing. So that's actually the perfect time to create marketing content, even though you may be pressed for time, but you have the right mindset to at least jot down some things that could be helpful later on.
Yeah. Okay. So is that what, because you also talked about how to, well, we should talk about how to eliminate distraction and create better focus during busy times too.
Yes. I guess we already touched on that a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. That, of course, when you have lots of project work, then some of the other long-term objectives may have to sit for a while. Mm-hmm. But you may find that exactly because of that confidence and of that high energy that comes with it, it may be possible to knock out some of those work steps as part of your busy time. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. But I have discovered the same thing, that when I have a lot of project work going on, then other tasks get done at the same time.
Yes. Yes. Isn't that interesting? Okay. But in general, what distractions are the most common for us, and how can we eliminate them?
Well, that sort of depends on personal preferences and modalities. Everybody's distracted by different things. Mm-hmm. So some people are really sensitive to noises, for example, or visual cues. So again, it's helpful to do a little exploration to figure out what are the most annoying and distracting things for you. Mm-hmm. And how can you handle those? Mm-hmm. Also really interesting to know that half of distractions are self-chosen. Mm-hmm. So that would be like you reaching for your phone when you can't find a terminology term easily in your work.
Totally.
Right. So, or the example I like to give is your work gets kind of tough. You come to a tough paragraph.
Yeah.
And you go, I don't know how to handle that. And next thing you know, you're in your fridge.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So those distractions are almost like a little way out. Uh-huh. Because things get difficult. So to be aware of that is very helpful, to realize, I'm finding this translation difficult, but let me work until, say, the full hour, and then I can take a break.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a much more conscious way of planning time and intention than just randomly interrupting what you're doing, because you need to know how long it will take you to fully come back to that same focus you had.
Mm-hmm. I this sounds silly, but one of my strategies is that, well, I use rescue time, which means that it measures all my activities on the computer. Mm-hmm. But I've chosen to have it not measure my time on my phone. So when I need to focus, I put my phone in the kitchen. So, I mean, not in the office, because I only go to social media on my phone, because if I would do it on my computer, rescue time would notice and show me this big distracted red bar in my report. So that is one way I tackle that. So I rarely ever go on social media unless I schedule something for my business on the computer. So, and I put the phone away when I need to focus.
Yeah, phones are obviously a huge distraction device. You know, they're kind of built that way.
Yeah.
Anything. So some easy ways to cut down on distractions while you're working at the computer is, close as many tabs as you can. Uh-huh. Don't have any notifications going if you know they're going to pull you out of what you're going to do.
Yeah.
So social media sites are, of course, built to draw you back in. So those notifications are exactly meant to do that. Mm-hmm. But you can turn them all off, and that's so worth it for you to choose when you want to be in them and see them, rather than having your time chopped up into even smaller parcels than is already the case.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else?
Like, yeah, I think stress has a lot to do with distractions as well. So when you're stressed for reasons not necessarily associated with your work, you're much more prone to accepting distractions.
Mm-hmm.
So in times of high stress.
Like the pandemic.
Yeah, pandemic, exactly. How many times did you check the news? Like in April, when we were all sitting mm-hmm. at home, mm-hmm. there were people who didn't leave the sofa from watching the news cycle
mm-hmm.
and nothing got done.
Yeah.
But everything got repeated so often that it would have been easy to say, I'll check that again in 2 hours and I can do something in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Okay, what about you, Dorothy? We always talk about marketing here, and while distractions aren't really part of marketing, I think it's important to eliminate them to get the marketing done. But what do you do? What marketing strategy works really well for you right now? Either for your translation business or your coaching business?
So to be very honest, I'm someone who is not, for whom marketing does not come easy. It's actually not something that I would jump to as my first thing. It's part of my important work because it's something that I need to remind myself to do.
I think that's the case for most of us.
Mm-hmm. So I sometimes shy away from making that ask or putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. So what I've decided to do is to make up for that shyness or for that kind of reluctance to market is that I will make it a daily habit, that I will do something every day to be present and to show up somewhere
mm-hmm.
in my capacity as a translator or as a coach or both. So that has worked fairly well because even when I'm busy, I realize that this daily appearance somewhere does not take more than a minute or two,
mm-hmm.
but it does accumulate over time. People are used to seeing me show up somewhere. So
do you mean show up on social media then, or send an email, or?
I think of the showing up more as social media work, but I have also really worked to stay in touch with people who have worked with me in the past.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that worked really well is I had a business shut down this summer because of COVID. They decided that they would close down,
mm-hmm.
but the project manager was close enough to me. We had exchanged so many messages mm-hmm. that when she took a new job, I asked her to take me with her.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, in your new job, they need translations, let me know. And that actually happened. So I thought that was a nice little win of that strategy of being present without necessarily marketing or
and
what I
think
of marketing.
It's important to keep in touch and create relationships with the project managers and the clients because of that situation. Because if you work with translation companies, this is one of the biggest reasons that some I have noticed that if I lose projects from one of the translation companies, it's usually because the project manager I work with moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to keep in touch. Yes.
Yeah. And to be an individual to them, not just a language combination, but somebody who they recognize.
Yes. Which also comes to the point of it's easier if you're working with smaller boutique translation companies to keep a personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Now, where can we find out more about you? And I know that you also have a new project starting in January. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so my website is at takebackmyday.com. Mm-hmm. That's where all my coaching and productivity work happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so interested in this whole idea of why some projects tend to linger so long, why we don't pursue the kind of work that we know we need to do to get to the next step, that I actually wrote it all up, what I think the best strategies are. And I call that work Complete What You Started.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole book, and I'm going to teach it as a course, because I think that when we work together and we compare notes, then we realize that many of us have the same issues in common. This is not something that we need to necessarily hide or deal with in our little offices, but when we work together, we may be able to find solutions together. And I'm thinking, for example, imposter syndrome, where we have this idea, oh, this is not good enough and it can't possibly blah, blah, blah. But when we realize that others have the same issue and that there are ways out of that dilemma,
mm-hmm.
it may be feasible to finally write that website and to complete that LinkedIn profile and to write the kind of specialized business texts or copy that you may need. So I would love to put that to the test. And that's what this course will be about. It's called Complete What You Started. It'll be offered through Training for Translators in January 2021. And it's just for a small group of people, because I want to test that exact theory of working individually and then working with people in a small group to see what we can accomplish together.
Yeah. So we will definitely put a link to that in the show notes so people can go check it out. And you say it's a book too. Is the book published?
The book is about to be published. It'll be out before the course starts. So it's going through the final edit at this time.
Okay. Well, exciting. I'm looking forward to reading it. So
thank you.
Complete What You Started. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dorothy, for these great tips and all your time management insights.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Yes, it's a pleasure having you. And I know that you have a lot of great information. So I encourage people to go check you out. And like I said before, while distractions aren't directly related to marketing, they are so important to master to actually get our marketing done. It is not easy to manage time and hold down distractions or keep them away before they can completely divert our attention elsewhere, especially those distractions when they can be actually important emails or family members. But with a bit of motivation, I think you think that too, Dorothy, motivation, self-control, we can manage the distractions and finish off all of our work before the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So let's thank you also to all the listeners. I will put all the links to Dorothy's website and to the course in the show notes. Before we go, I want to give a listener shout out to. This one goes to Larry from United States. She says, I've been listening for years to Marketing Tips for Translators podcast. At different points of my career, I listened to specific topics or I binged listened to them. I've learned a lot and I still do. I appreciate the dedication, commitment, in-depth talk with the guests. And the icing on the cake are available show notes and lists that Tess sends in the newsletters. So thank you, Larry, for taking the time to leave this review and for telling me this, and because it really motivates me to keep going. And for everyone who aren't getting my newsletters, you can sign up for them at marketingtipsfortranslators.com, where we will also post all the show notes for this episode. I hope you found a lot of valuable insights today. We both, Dorothy and I, would love to hear from you. So you can also comment in the show notes or email us. And if you like this episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, leave me a review, and share the episode with anyone that might benefit from it. Thank you for listening and have a great week. Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.